We'll call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Tuesday, December 12th, 2023, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance for observation. Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Mr. Jurgens will be out today. First, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held November 29th, 2023. Approve all claims through December 12th, 2023 in the amount of $550,660.64. Accept claim number 2312-0077 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $1,620.87 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve quote with Applied Connective for security server and maintenance of server in the amount of $25,030.04. Approve quote with Applied Connective for courthouse Wi-Fi managed services in the amount of $18,099. Approve quote with Applied Connective for security managed services, access control network, door controller, etc., in the amount of $65,270.93. Approve quote with Applied Connective for managed security services, update, panic button, hardware, in the amount of $10,612.40. Approve quote with Applied Connective for the multimedia managed services, equipment for the boardroom, in the amount of $86,570.88. Approve quote with Applied Connective for highway department for cameras and equipment in the amount of $20,535. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of November 2023. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented or for any items that would like to be pulled off.
Motion to approve as presented.
Mr. Delight will beat you.
I'd like to pull off items 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 to be considered independently.
9 and 10.
5?
No, 5. 5 is okay.
10 is.
6.
6
through 7, 10. 8, 9, and 10.
6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Not 5.
Sure, go with 5, too.
5 through 10.
Sure. Since you guys are requesting it.
Well, I was just wondering what 5
is. Why
that was. Any other items on the consent agenda to be pulled off? If not, I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda, less items 5 through 10.
Move to approve.
Move by Lytle.
Second it.
Second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Items, do you want them individually?
Yes.
Item 5. I'd ask for a motion to approve, and then we'll discuss, or do you want to discuss it first?
You have to have a motion to discuss, so I move to approve.
Second.
Emily made motion, and Mr. Swavely. All right, discussion on item 5.
Item 5, I wasn't really intending to pull off. It's a security server and the maintenance of the server, which is the security for our system that we talked about. As you know, and that was kind of one of the things we discussed when we brought Applied Connective on as our IT provider, and part of tying our system up and whatever else. So that one I really didn't have any intentions of pulling off and discussing. So, but if you guys want to discuss it, let's discuss it. I will say that you know, for all of these, I'm just going to knock this statement out right away concerning all of them. I do believe it's important to have an IT. You know, a lot of years I've thought we should have an IT person on staff. here that we were paying, you know, as a county, so that we had somebody on hand to be an IT person for us. This option came up, and I was agreeable that this was a good option because it gave us that IT help that we needed for the countywide. I thought that was important. What I do not like about this is that we are cutting out local providers out of all of the services. That, you know, if we're going to, everything that takes electricity in this building, we're just going to give Applied Connective the ability to give us a price for something, and we're just going to buy their goods and services just because they're our IT provider. I am not a fan of that. And, when it comes to the people that have been doing our doors and our cameras, they have done us well. They have showed up and helped us, and in a lot of cases, it's not their system. They have taken something over. They've learned how to take care of it and manage it and do the things that we need them to do. And they've done a lot of dirty work for us over the years. And now we're going to put in a new system, and we're not even allowing them to bid on that system and get some of the easier work, after doing all the dirty work. And I do not think that that's right. I believe we've got a couple guys here today from Diode that would like to speak at some point here. I don't know that on number five it's really, really the thing, but maybe now is the time for them to say their piece, as it does kind of reflect on all of these items. So, I mean, if I can give the floor to them, I would appreciate that. John, Ron, are you guys willing to speak at this point, or you got anything that you would like to say?
Please give your name and address for the record. Maybe your place of employment, just in this circumstance.
Yeah, Ron Floor, Dow Technologies, 2507 North 76th Street, Lincoln, Nebraska. Then also, John Thompson. I have no idea what your address is.
37872 Southwest.
John, how do you spell your last name?
T-H-O-M-S-E-N.
Okay. Ron, how do you spell your last name? Is it O-H-R?
Yes, F-L-O-H-R.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Excellent, thanks. Chairman Thiemann, supervisors, thank you for this opportunity. So myself, John, we're from Dow Technologies. A little bit about us, we have locations both Diller and Lincoln, made up of a team of local experts who specialize in designing, engineering, installing, maintaining low voltage systems, which include anything from data cabling, access control, security systems, surveillance, mass communication, panic system, IP phones, and audio video systems. So we've been providing services in the county for many years, including taking over, Supervisor Lytle mentioned, the current access control system for a previous provider who is no longer able to service the system. We've been looking over that system for approximately 8 years now. Along the way, the current current access control server was compromised. John, our service manager Becky, and working in conjunction with Joe Blackburn, were able to isolate, remediate, and resolve the situation, bring it back online with minimal amount of downtime. With our current partnerships, many of the systems that we maintain at the county has been able to outlast their typical lifespan, which has helped maximize the county's investments on all that infrastructure. So we're not aware of any service issues that may prevent us to be considered to the bid on any of these upgrades. There are times where we're not, if there were times that we were not responsive enough, we apologize. But I'll add, with our local presence, we have a strong response record on any business critical situations. Right around August of 2021, Dave Jones reached out for upgrades on this system here, And we worked through it with Joe Blackburn, kind of took it back to our engineers, and at that point, the budget we were given is roughly what it was, about half of what the current proposal was. And at that point, we didn't feel like there was a good system that was going to be user-friendly enough. It was going to really check all the boxes you were looking to provide. So at that point, we told Joe and Dave, like, hey, you know, this isn't going to be a good situation, and we're not going to bid on it because we just don't feel like it's a good way to move forward. But honestly, we're disappointed not having an opportunity to present any proposals for upgrades in this county. After seeing the action items on the agenda the last couple of weeks, we feel like we've been quite competitive. You know, to verify and to confirm, we would need to be given the scope and specifications of the projects. We partner with many schools, businesses, governmental entities that do not feel like having a singular provider is always the best route. They value and often request a separation of duties and have multiple entities would provide those services just for the checks and balances with the physical security and the IT infrastructure. We work closely with numerous managed service providers to coordinate, implement, and troubleshoot our systems, and we work very well with those, and it's really critical for us to have those relationships to have that seamless system and reduce downtime. So, you know, again, we appreciate the opportunity and welcome any questions that the board may have.
Ron, so what you're saying is that a service company like Applied Connective being in here taking care of our Wi-Fi, our security in our system, you should be able to work with them, you know, doing the doors and cameras and whatever else. There shouldn't be any issues. It should be pretty seamless for you to work with them in taking care of our system to make sure that it's safe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we do quite often. We do it in schools with ESUs, multiple MSPs. We have, you know, we're also the service provider, the security provider on many, many organizations that have their internal IT, you know, like you were talking earlier, the internal IT department. You know, really, it's to your benefit to have a better product and a seamless and frictionless you know, coordination with that. So absolutely, we do that quite a bit.
When you said, when you looked at this and you're given half the budget to do the project, which project are you speaking about?
So primarily that was to address the boardroom, you know, with the microphones, the AV, the recording, and the streaming. You know, if I remember, it was probably around that $30,000 mark that we were talking about or that they were given. And at that time, we just didn't have a good system that would be user-friendly, that would make sense, and there was a good value. So we, instead of having something, for lack of better words, MacGyvered together to say, hey, just check some boxes, we said, hey, it's not going to be a good solution, and we didn't really have anything like that.
I think there's some miscommunication there because we just asked for prices. We didn't have a budget. And in talking to our, I guess talking to the folks you talked to, they said that no one was really interested in it, and they didn't get called back. That was, I guess, with you working with Joe Blackburn for part of it and his supplier for the setup in here. But we didn't really have a budget. It'd be hard for us to come up with a budget because we really had no idea what we needed or what the costs would be. I tend to agree with Gary on a lot of this. But that one in particular, I mean, that one, it felt like we got kind of dropped for a few years, you know, where we were kind of in limbo trying to figure out what to do. But, yeah, we were just asking for proposals. We really didn't know what our budget would be. I hate to say it like that, but with technology like this, a lot of times we more or less have to ask and then see if it's something that's feasible or not. And we ended up coming in approximately where we had talked early on, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize for any misunderstanding.
That does happen. I mean, there's a lot of different parties that we're talking through here. It's real easy by the time we pass a message down the line for it to get changed a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we apologize if there's any miscommunication with that.
But different organizations, you see the network security working separately with door controllers or and I know this isn't the right word, internet hotspots or whatever the...
Yeah, the wireless access points.
Wireless access points, thank you. Things like that, and then they just tie into the network. How does that work as you tie something like that in with the network security people?
So as we take a step back and look at that piece, and looking at the part that Applied Connective would play, you know, as far as, you know, being that managed service provider, you know, looking from the outside, that's something that we do for a lot of people that don't have that relationship. We do have the wireless access points in many places. But in a situation like this, it really makes sense for them to do it. You know, if they're going to be managing the network, if they're going to manage all those pieces and the cyber side of things, you know, we'd love to do it for you, but we're also going to be the first people to tell you that it's probably, you know, those are probably the guys that should do that piece of that, because that is tied to their network and it is distributing their internet. You know, when you start looking at the security and the physical security and the panic buttons and the AV, that would be a little bit different conversation. And, you know, having those separate is probably not a bad strategy.
Questions for Mr. Floor, Ms. Saxby?
I don't have a question. Mine's more of a comment, I guess. When I see, I know maybe it's an age thing, younger generation here, so I already got that comment. Preface that. Yeah, you. However, like I appreciate everything that has been done, but the reason that we went with Applied Connective with our stuff is that we didn't hodgepodge, because that leaves gaps. And I see security, I see the panic buttons, the hardware, it's all tied to one system. So to hodgepodge it again would be going backwards to where we were, which is why we asked this company to do what we asked them to do. It's all tied into the servers. It's all one system. We're trying to make it an easy system. We're trying to make it a secure system. When you hodgepodge, you leave holes. So that covers my statement for the entire thing, so you know where I'm at with that. I appreciate everything that has been done, but we went with a company where we didn't have to hodgepodge. We would leave zero holes. It's all one system.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
So with those different systems, is the camera system, the access control system, and the panic system all one system, or are they integrated together?
Panic would be a separate system. Cameras and doors would be the same system. Different systems working on the same server, I should say.
We don't know for sure how they're looking.
I would assume they're all integrated and controlled together, though. That's the idea, is that it's all working together, all accessed by, like, if you have, like, trying to come up with a good analogy here, but
you want to wait a moment and let Mr. Schuler go?
Yeah, you go, and I'll come up with a good one here.
Schuler.
I agree with Emily, and I agree with Gary also. I just, it's a comfort level for me to have the assurance that we're paying a appropriate price for the services we're getting. And I was uncomfortable 2 weeks ago and talked about pulling off the agenda, because I just didn't know enough about it and how the prices were arrived at, nothing to compare it with. Seems like it was flowing a little bit too fast for the amount of money we were spending, and that's just my personal feelings on it. And I agree with Gary that we need to consider the people that has been servicing us in the past. At the same time, has nothing against Applied Connective or whether it's Dio Technologies or another company. It's just my values of how I make my decisions on the amount of money that's being spent and to represent my constituents.
I think I've got one. It's rough. But let's say everything's worked on my computer here, and then, but yet only the number keypad, it has an extra, like, layer of a cover. And to open that cover, I now have to talk to another, like for example, like, I got to call my husband to open the cover so I can use it. Like, it's an extra step in there that security-wise would be a lot smoother, and work as a whole instead of the hodgepodge part.
Mr. Lytle?
So, Ron, answer me this. Since you're the expert, we are not. If I have this and this and this that are all going to plug into my system, if Applied Connective plugs this, this, and this into the system, or if you plug this in, these three items into the system to work, is it that does not create a hodgepodge. That doesn't create any differences. It still has, whether they do it or you do it, it's still going to have the same openings in the system that could be issues. Am I correct on that?
No, you're correct. So you're going to have different appliances, typically different systems that integrate. They talk to each other that live on that network. And, you know, I'll be honest, Applied Connective, they're really good at what they do on the MSP side. You know, we work with them in different areas. I have a personal relationship with the owner. They're really good at that stuff. We don't do that stuff, and we won't do it for a reason. We're really good at this piece. And I think it's a benefit to the county to get the best of both worlds for the best price and, you know, ultimately get everything working well together and seamless. So I think that's our goal, and, you know, we hope to look forward to, you know, work with somebody like Applied Connective. And
my follow-up statement here is I think everybody here knows that I spend a little bit of time building teams, whether it's softball or at the co-op with the group that loads trains and whatever else. I spend quite a lot of time building teams and having all these pieces that you're putting into places so that you have a strong team. In my opinion, and the way I feel about this is I want the local player to be a piece of my team, because now I've got two strong players that is going to create, you know, a stronger team for me. And, you know, in this case, that's the analogy that I've got. And I feel better about having two strong players as opposed to having one and keeping somebody on the outside. And then our one strong player calls these people and asks them for help on certain individual things when they can't get to them or whatever else, which has already happened.
We've also asked them to reach out to our locals as well to have them participate. So that's part of our part. But the other part of it, agree or disagree, we've now posted these prices. So it would not be fair either to go ahead with the bid system, because we've now shown somebody else's bid.
Dave?
This board during, and I tried looking, but we don't have the minutes from our committee meetings that we can get to readily, okay, but there are minutes and recordings. But this board, I'm not going to say overwhelmingly, but sit here and nobody objected to it when we decided at the time to go with Applied Connective. Now, I understand that, you know, that there's some things here that I'm not disagreeing with what Gary's saying here, okay, because he's probably right. But this board of people sat here in the committee meetings and decided that Applied Connective was what we wanted, one group to handle all of our problems. So I mean, that's, and I can't find it without going and sitting for a couple hours and listening to those things. But
Dave, when we'd made that decision, I was thinking of Applied Connective as our IT service people to service the equipment we have. I didn't realize we were obligating ourselves to purchase everything from there on out from that company.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was the intent at the time or not, okay? So.
Well, I don't know either. So, I mean, it wasn't – apparently that isn't clear to what the intent was. But I can recall in my decision to whether hire an IT company or to hire our own staff, and when I consulted with people that I've seen at other counties at NACO meetings, this was one of the issues, is when you hire a company that you get – bound into purchasing stuff from the, you feel obligated to purchase from them, and you don't have a choice, or you don't feel like you have a choice in what you purchase, versus having your own IT staff, which is also, it's hard to find people, it's hard to find quality people and keep them, and the benefits and the whole nine yards. I went with the lesser of two options, what I felt was probably the best option. And then at times like this, is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to be 100% loyal to that company without doing any other searching for costs or comparisons? I guess my personal life, I wouldn't. So that's what makes me uncomfortable with this. It may be the right thing to do, but I'm uncomfortable. It just doesn't feel right to me to just take a price and run with it, especially when we don't know all that much about it. It even makes me more uncomfortable. Mr. We were talking heavy equipment. You know, we've got people that's acquainted with that. This is something we're all inexperienced at, so it makes it difficult.
Mr. Lytle?
And Dave's point is a valid one, something that I don't disagree with. When we just started discussing Applied Connective, you know, we had been discussing an IT person for the for the county, and you know, if I remember right, didn't Applied Connective become part of the discussion because the attorney through the Attorney General's office and the voting part wasn't that part of where that came from?
We were required to take additional security on the correct election stuff just to make sure we maintain security there. We were secure, but we wanted to make sure that we were over the top.
Correct. And you know, when we were having those discussions, it was more of the security. In my mind, you know, what I was thinking was it was more on the security side. It was the servers, you know, it was the computers. It wasn't the door locks. And I mean, when I was thinking IT and thinking of what we were discussing, I wasn't thinking door locks. You know, did I miss something there? Obviously, I did. I wasn't thinking cameras. I wasn't thinking $90,000 worth of equipment for the boardroom. I wasn't thinking of all those things. You know, if this board decides that that's the direction we're going and it's all one person and, you know, we're going to write a blank check for these people to spend our money and do whatever on all these different things, then I guess that is what it is. But that's not what I was envisioning at that time.
I will say, as we talked to them initially, though, we asked about outside vendors because there's specific offices that work with Diode, Blackburn Technologies, local vendors, and there was no issue with working with the local vendors.
Yeah, and that's why I said we'd actually ask them to if you know, if necessary, to work with our local vendors. But to that point, we did ask I at least asked when they were here about, this wasn't the last meeting, but the initial one, if they did those things. Do they do the cameras? Do they do the other parts? And they had said they did. So, again, this could be a generational thing, but I consider that all IT, that all part of a secure system. Because they can hack through those things as well. It's all wireless. It's all integrated into a server.
And there are discussions on what IT is. The one of the offices saw IT as installation of rough equipment, non-tech, you know, because it dealt with technology, it was IT. Talking to IT people, that's outside their realm. That's installation stuff. The IT would be once the stuff's installed, then they hook it up and make it work. So there's differences of opinion on that. Any other questions for Mr. Floor or Mr. Thompson? We've had you standing up here. I apologize as we talk. Any other discussion amongst the board on... Thank you, sir. Any other discussion amongst the board on item 5, which would be the security server and maintenance of the server? I will ask one quick question to council. We don't generally put any prices on items as we're going through them. Mm-hmm. Do we have any issue... We do if it's quotes. Okay, I didn't
Dave
remember.
Has quotes, yeah.
I didn't remember prices on here. The is there any issue with having prices on here if we take things to bid now? Sorry, I didn't ask you that ahead of time.
That's
at all.
Okay. Emily touched on the fairness issue. I would have to look on whether or not you could resubmit for bids. I think that if you were to resubmit for bids from even AC Applied
Connective.
Connective, and other providers, that might be a possibility, but I'd have to look into it further.
So if we ask for additional prices, it may be an issue, but if we don't ask for additional prices...
What I'm saying is, you're going to ask for additional prices, you would also have to allow Applied Connective to submit additional quotes as well.
Excuse me. We have a motion and a second. Emily and Ms. Haxby and Mr. Swavely on item number 5. Any additional discussion on this item? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Item number 6, approve quote with Applied Connective for the courthouse Wi-Fi managed services in the amount of $18,099.00.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Haxby, second by Lytle. Discussion on this item. This item would consist of 6 internet connection points on each floor. We give all courthouse internet on each floor for it'd be secure internet for each floor to allow anyone to get on Wi-Fi as well as our secured channel. I know that's not the right terminology. And guest. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Lytle for item 6. Any discussion from the board? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Item 7, approve quote with Applied Connective for security managed services, the access control network door controllers, in the amount of $65,270.93. I believe this consists of, this doesn't consist of replacing door controllers. This would consist of a maintenance agreement on the door controllers, warranting out their components,
and
replacing as needed. Let me get this off to make sure I don't tell you incorrectly.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, please, Dave. And we're getting the quote out too, so that we can.
The bid for the door controllers would be not the actual latches or anything, but each door does have a little black controller above it, and so that was a large amount of that cost is replacing all of the actual controllers.
To activate the locks.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. The reason that you'd made a comment about how it takes a while to sometimes the system to even boot up to even control those doors?
Correct. And that's where Diode has been helping us with. As they've been going out, they have been replacing them as needed. But our system, I'm not sure exactly how old those controllers are, but they do have some years on them. So they are starting to fail. And that's usually, it's the computer down in our data room is talking to those controllers. And sometimes those controllers are just...
we don't want to talk today.
That's right.
So just real roughly on this, this would consist of 72 door controllers, not the latch hardware, but the... The
black
door
box.
Brains, we'll say.
Yeah.
Tie-ins on those, licensing and installation, the hardware, the software, the licensing and installation of new brains on each door,
yeah.
New control modules for each door. We might keep you up here, Dave, as we go through the rest of these.
I knew I shouldn't have come up here.
So moved.
Item 7, moved by Ms. Haxby.
Second.
Second by Mr. Swavely. Additional discussion on the door controllers. Mr. Lytle.
I'm gonna ask that everybody on the board take a step back from this and give Diode the opportunity to be a participant in this. I feel just because I'm going to speak just for myself, not everybody on the board here, just because I made a mistake and did not think this through enough and did not consider all of the pieces to this, I do not feel that we should commit the taxpayers' money to do this without considering our local vendor that is in has been doing the work. And I think that they would tell you that, you know, if they had an opportunity, they've been doing their best to save us money by making this system limp along, where they could have put a new system in and been easier for them, you know, for the last couple years as this thing has been wearing out, as Dave has stated. You know, they've done the things to patch this together and make it last for us as we went through the Beatrice 6. They could have cried and whined and said, this system sucks, you guys need to replace it, but they didn't. They did things to benefit this county to help keep our costs down during the while we were paying for the Beatrice 6. I think it's our duty, and I will not vote to approve this. I think it's our duty to step back from this and give them an opportunity to participate.
I'll follow up a thought from legal counsel that while I understand, and I'm just coming into this, that originally this was thought of as being falling under the umbrella of professional services through the Applied Connective. It's not a specialized professional project. It is one that could be bid out to other local providers, because there are providers that in the area who can provide these types of services. So I would say that we need to be cautious about bidding those services that are not specialized. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Council. Ms. Haxby.
I 100% agree. I agree with what you're saying, Gary, with what they have done, and I appreciate everything that the local people have done, and I know they have done a great job. I don't want us to go backwards and be hodgepodging. And if they want, we encouraged the Applied Connective to work with our local providers, but all is still managed as one IT. It is all IT. It all works together. It all connects to a server. It will be, when you have multiple entities working on your same security system, it's going to get interesting. We've asked them to do this. It wasn't just a, like, wear out, complained about it, now they want to do it. Dave asked them to, because it's been a pain for Dave as well. And we have an IT to ask for it. So that's how this all came around to begin with.
Emily, if these services were bid out and Applied Connective were to say, okay, we're going to come in with this price under, and this is a profession we offer, Diode were to come in with another quote, and the third party comes in with a third quote, could the board still elect to go with Applied Connective on the basis that then you're keeping it under one company?
I would assume so. I think it's going to get really messy. I also think it's really wrong to bid a process after you've posted quotes.
Thank you, Ms. Haxby.
I understand Emily's position, but what's the lesser of the two wrongs? I don't know how else to say it. The quotes are already out there, but then not to have made that offer in the first place seems inappropriate to me. So my comfort zone is with Gary's opinion. Then another thing is, even if we didn't have this particular issue we're talking about, is there any bells and whistles in these bids that we should be looking at to reduce our costs? Or is it exactly what, you know, that's something else I don't know about, and I'm not technically savvy to understand it without maybe a long description. And David, that's where I look to you is
well, and that's part of the issue. Also, I've told the board before, when it comes to IT things, I do not understand it. I always rely on other people to tell me, you know, what would work sure. best for us. So.
And that's totally understandable, that's Dave. I mean, that's same. We ask you to do a lot outside your normal day-to-day realm. Luckily, we have you, so we just keep adding to what you do. Good job, security.
There's nothing wrong with that, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
additional discussion from the board, Mr. Lytle.
The only thing that I'll say, Emily is our resident IT person on this board because she is younger and she has been through more of this stuff. But one thing, I'm not, you know, I play stupid sometimes, but I do know more about IT than I play on sometimes. And, you know, Emily, I don't think it's fair for you to use the word hodgepodge, because as Ron just stated, these three items are going to be plugged into the system, and it don't matter who plugs them into the system. It's not a hodgepodge just because you got another entity that plugs into there. You're not hodgepodging anything, because Applied Connective is going to plug that into the system just the same as what Diode is. And those three pieces you're plugging into the system aren't going to change no matter who's plugging them in. So it's not a hodgepodge because you'd have Diode, you know, plugging these pieces in. So I think, you know, for others that are maybe not as IT savvy, understand that this does not create a hodgepodge if you have Diode doing these items.
If we had our own IT staff and our own hired personnel, what would you consider it then? How would they ever work on anything? It would all be a big hodgepodge. I mean, why would any county have hired their own IT staff? So you can compare it.
But
if
you have your own IT staff, you hire different people to do different pieces. One person manages it overall. I think this is similar to what Mr. Lytle's proposing. You have an overall manager of the network.
The other thing that I was going to say, Eric, that I kind of forgot there for a second is that I'm not going to name names, and that individual can speak for himself if he'd like to, but you know, 2 weeks ago when this came up, I wasn't the only one that had this epiphany all of a sudden of realizing what we had screwed up and what we had not done. And there, you know, there is somebody else on this board that had the same issue, because I had a discussion with him about it. And, you know, I'm not the only person that, you know, did we screw up as far as getting these quotes out there and letting them be published? Yeah, we did. But we screwed up bigger than that by not including our local vendor in this discussion. And I'm not the only person on this board that had that same feeling, you know, on that part.
How do we know that Applied Connective isn't going to work with these fellows and have them maintain it since they've been doing it all along? We don't know that.
I don't know if it's the case or not, but there's been talk that companies like Diode or Blackburn, and I'll just use them because they're ones that we're familiar with here, could be other vendors as well, but that someone like Applied Connective calls them anyway since they're here in town. I would think that would be good business for someone like that anyway. I wouldn't look down on that. I'd look at that as a positive. If I need something in Hastings, I call somebody in Hastings and have them take care of it for me. If there's a trusted relationship, you're able to provide better service faster that way.
Do you folks do any work for Applied Connective right now? Pardon?
Okay. Just for the record, Mr. Thompson answered no to that question. Just so we have transparency in the record, sir. Ms. Axby.
I understand what you're saying, Gary, but I'm going to agree to disagree, because it'd just be like using my MyOps John Deere system and trying to integrate a case monitor system with an ag leader program. It all doesn't work together, and you've got to come up with different things. If you want everything to work together, you try to use one monitoring system.
This isn't putting John Deere and case together. That's not a good analogy.
It's different programs. You're requiring another entity to oversee a product that they didn't install.
But it can be the same product.
Well, maybe it could be.
Where with your tractor, it's a different product.
You're trying to bring
compatible products.
You're trying to have a company oversee something they didn't install.
Rough thing is on IT products like this, it'd be so much easier if we all understood them better. And I'm apologetic. There's none of us on here. Emily would be the closest, I assume. Mr. Schuler also, I assume you're somewhat tech savvy. If it's something
somewhat loosely.
If you enjoy something, you know, if you enjoy mechanical things, you might enjoy taking a head apart and taking all the pieces apart and looking how they work and putting it back together.
If it runs.
Yeah. If you enjoy that, that's interesting. You learn about it. You spend time learning about it. I shouldn't say unfortunately, because this offers us a lot of benefit. Fortunately, we have these systems that work relatively well, and we get to enjoy them. Unfortunately, if we don't enjoy the workings of them, we don't all learn about them, and we're forced to depend on experts that are far more knowledgeable than we'll ever be on these items. Part of being an elected person is we've got to try to slide through all this and find the best decisions on which routes to go. We have a motion and a second for item 7, which would be for the not the door hardware, the door brains with, if I understand right, Mr. Jones, through the service agreement on that, there is warranty on all the mechanical mechanisms, and they would be replaced as they go out.
Correct.
Later on.
Correct. And that is an additional fee, though.
That is in addition to the bid amount?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that would be an ongoing fee. Monthly. Let me just make sure I give you the right price.
You made the motion to approve, didn't you? Did Swavely second it? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Haxby Swavely. The managed service, it was a six and a quarter a month, which provided the quarterly cleaning, replacement of door mechanisms when needed, and updates, etc.
Yes. And can I run back and get a paperwork?
No,
I got one.
Okay.
Yes, for access door, yes, it is a 628.09, and they would go through. If anything does break, it's all covered under warranty. One of the extended ones that would come in handy is the one with the cameras. We are not.
That's a different bid, though?
Yes.
Let's wait on that. I mean, okay. We're having a hard enough time on this one, Mr.
Sure,
Jones.
Sure.
This one was updated.
You may have the early one where there was a bunch of cable on that.
They removed that, so they lowered that.
Okay.
From what you have, so it's
okay.
Six and a quarter.
Is that
in the services? So this
all
is
right.
The updated amount.
Do they still honor this?
Any additional discussion on the door controllers? We'll just call it the door controllers loosely.
It's
This would be the door system.
Yeah, they would, because they just sent this one to me. This one right here.
Current price, $65,270.93. Network door controllers. Last and final call for any discussion. Seeing none, please vote.
Bad Juergens wasn't here.
Yeah.
He's kind of our IT department.
Yeah.
We have a vote of 3-3. This time the motion fails. With Schuler, Thiemann, and Lytle voting nay. Haxby, Dorn, and Swavely voting yes. Move on to item 8. Yep, that would fail. A motion does not carry with a tie. Item 8. Council, I'm correct. Motion does
you
not.
You are correct.
Okay, just so I don't do that wrong. Item 8, approve quote with Applied Connective for managed security services, update panic buttons hardware in the amount of $10,612.40. We currently have a hardwired panic button system. It works. What this would do, it would remove the hardwired buttons. They would get rid of the Bluetooth buttons that we have that are mobile. It would make them wireless. I assume that means Wi-Fi instead of Bluetooth. The other buttons would plug into the sides of the computer and be, I'm going to say, USB-based or some type of side connection to the computer-based. Those would run on a program then in lieu of being a standalone system. They would be a program-based system instead. Me saying that, it's just off of memory from our committee meetings. I may have misrepresented that some, but
David, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it would notify if the clerk's office pushed the panic button, every office in the courthouse would know that there's a problem in the clerk's office.
Correct.
I think that's how it's supposed to be.
And then we can type in, I think he said, like I could type in what the issue was so that they're aware of what's going
okay.
on or something
okay.
like that pops up on the screen.
Okay.
And that would also go up to the fourth floor where Brian's sitting, third floor where Brian's sitting. It would go up on his screen, pop up a message on that. But this would be software-based instead of a hardwired button system that we currently have. Current system works. This would be an upgraded one and hopefully be a little bit better, especially on the portable buttons. Do we have a motion or a second to approve or disapprove this quote?
Move to approve.
We have a motion by Haxby. Do we see a second?
Second.
Second by Swavely. Discussion on the panic button. Hardware, software. Mr. Lytle.
This is more computer-based part of the computer system, the way I understand it. Am I mistaken in that? Or
this will actually run through the computer system. So, for instance, Don's laptop here, instead of a hardwired panic button here, there would be something that plugs into the side of her computer. Those plugins know where they are, where they're when they're programmed in. I'll use the boardroom here. If we plug something in to a boardroom computer, it knows it's in the boardroom. If we take it somewhere else, it's still going to think it's in the boardroom. So those would be location specific through the computer, through programming, and then the portables would work off of Wi-Fi. Is that correct, Dave, that they're Wi-Fi in lieu of Bluetooth?
That, yes.
To help with the building?
The way I understand it, yes.
So I guess unless I'm misunderstanding, you know, the process with these, explain this so that while I do know some IT stuff. I'm not understanding this one. Is this actually a piece of your individual computers, or is this a plug-in piece that is going to be an external
external piece plugging into computers.
I would explain this, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, because you are our expert. I would explain this like a cordless mouse, a piece plugging into the side of the mouse, or I'm sorry, a piece plugging into the side of the computer, and in integrating into that computer with the software.
I understand it also. Instead of having the hardwired button type deal, it would be
it's wireless.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. I think this one would literally plug into the side of the computer and then be a button. One button connected by USB. It does say USB. I thought it did. Silent two-button, panic button, Bluetooth. I'm wrong. These are Bluetooth that they're going to. And the other ones would plug into USB. There'd be 26 USB type, 6 Bluetooth. Installation.
I think there's some kind of a platform cloud or some other stuff.
And then the and then the software that goes along with it. As well as continuing fees for each item.
So I really like the convenience of Bluetooth. But what happens when that service is not available and we're needing to push a panic button?
There's only 6 that would be Bluetooth. The other 26 are plugged into a USB port. We currently only have 6 portable ones. The 6 portable ones generally work, but not always because of the structure of the building. The Bluetooth ones are supposed to be more reliable, evidently. I couldn't remember if it was Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, but so just the portable ones, the 6 of those would be Bluetooth. The other ones would all be plugged into the side of a computer. Each of the computers are actually hardwired in. I believe even yours. Do you plug into the internet when you sit down here? The other ones would be hardwired into our network.
Yeah. And I have a note here. It says attach the 6 to the hardware for the same dollars. So
we will continue to have foolproof hardwired as capabilities long that no matter if somebody were to cut power to this building, we'd still be able to communicate that there's an issue.
As long as our network's working and the computers are functioning and the programming's working.
You know, we have generator backup.
So if we cut power to the building, none of that will be working. We have a generator.
Generator should fire up within seconds.
The Bluetooth.
All new hardware.
All the hardwired ones would be replaced because we thought they were just going to be converting things, but they're actually going to replace all the hardwired ones.
Switch to hardwired for same dollars on those 6, so I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Don has a note we could switch those 6 and not have portables for the same price. I don't know that we'd want to do that.
I don't know, but that's just a note that they said, so that's what I wrote on
the. Do the Bluetooth, they have batteries to change in them, I assume. That's how they're powered.
They're rechargeable. We don't know that. I mean, those would be details to ask.
Dave comes around. How often you test the? You test them all.
With our existing ones, we do have little, real small batteries that we replace in them.
On a rotating basis, or when they need it? Mostly when they need it, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. That's our heads up. When one goes out, then we replace them.
Okay.
I guess my last question is this a service that our locals would be able to bid out or not? I guess that'd be the last question that I would have on it.
I don't have an answer for you on that.
Could you bid it? I believe yes, you could. It sounds like there's other providers, but it does come under the $50,000 requirement for having to bid, is my understanding.
There's a number, right?
Right, okay. Yeah. Yep. this a service that, that our locals are providing?
I guess, what do we require right now, Dave? The system we have, does it take any service? Does it need any repair? Does
only when something's not working, then I would call.
Did you just say it only needs repaired when something's not working?
Yeah.
How often do we have an issue with the current system?
Well, here lately, we are having trouble with extremely slow. The computer itself is getting old, and it's been slow.
This would eliminate this system then, and it would just fall under our regular computers? Is that what I understand then? We would get rid of that system?
Yeah, well, that's the way I understand it also, because it is currently, it is in the computer that is with the door access.
So this is with the door access computer. So the door access computer is going to a new server?
Yes.
Okay. Or it would have been. It will be eventually. So there will be no standalone system for this. It'll just work off of cloud-based software. And
I cannot answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. If you have knowledge on these. John, could you come up to the microphone, please? Thank you.
Some of the panic buttons run off the Interlogic security system in the basement. It's a separate security system. Some of the panic buttons run off of the access control system, which is hardwired, which we took over the system.
So we have some
on
the two.
Courthouse.
So there's panic buttons on two separate systems?
Some's for security, some to lock the courthouse. Also tied together. You're going to want some sort of security to lock down the courthouse and lock the doors. Any courthouse that we've worked with has that, to push a button to lock the doors. So the question is that what you're getting with this estimate from the other company?
We've never talked about the lockdown feature. But I don't know if that is in this panic button system or not.
I mean, my advice is I would probably make sure you know what you're getting and know what it needs to do and what you're looking for security purposes.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions for John while he's up here? All right. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Swavely. Do you have anything else for us, Mr. Jones?
I wish I could be more helpful, but no, I do not.
Anything else from the board on this item? Ms. Haxby.
This is security, especially if you're plugging into a computer. I mean, we've got a little chip that we've got to plug into our computer to make changes, because that is part of the IT. I don't know why we're, like, I'm beyond the discussion on this. Like, this is all IT. It should all be under one umbrella. I'm going to continue with that stance for the rest of these.
Last chance. Item 8. Managed Security Services updated panic button. Motion by Haxby, second by Swavely. Please vote. 4 in favor, with Schuler and Lytle voting nay. Motion carries. Item 9, approved quote with Applied Connective for multimedia managed service equipment for the boardroom in the amount of $86,570.88. This would consist of several cameras, several screens, screens in the boardroom under a new proposed counter, new microphone system, basically an update of all the multimedia in here. We'd have the ability to stream each meeting. We'd have the ability to show documents to the public, which we're looking at. It also, the new microphone system, which evidently we're starting to have some trouble with the microphone system as well. Dave, are there new speakers involved in that also?
Yes.
New speakers, voting hardware that's loaded into the microphone platform. just a complete revamp in here. Item 9, I guess I'll ask for a motion before we discuss this item.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Swavely. Do we have a second? Second by Haxby. This one was put out 3 times, I think. We requested proposal. I guess I'll let you go with that, Dave, because you kind of headed that up.
We did. We started out, actually, Joe Blackburn was involved with when the county court was checking into what they could do with theirs. And then I did ask Joe Blackburn if he could come down and look at the boardroom to see what all it would involve. And then we also had Keckley, guy come down from Lincoln. He worked with churches and things like that, and he had come down, and then he pretty much passed on it. So, and I believe that was the same way with Joe. He was trying to get information, and it just kind of stopped, I guess. So.
Joe or who?
Joe, I think, told us Dio declined. So, yeah.
This is a similar price as I remember it was Crackley or
Keckley.
Keckley. Yeah. This was a similar ballpark to what he had proposed. Is that correct?
It was pretty close. He didn't have an exact figure, but he was telling us both that it's going to be up there around this number, and parts were extremely hard to get, so there was a long time before they could get them. I don't know if that part has changed here lately, but I know he did stress that they were quite a ways out before they could get any of the equipment. And I would add, we did have Conference Technologies. That was paid for by the state, but they did county court and district court. And between the two of those, I think it was right at $170,000 for those two.
They were unable to do anything, though, because of timing here. Is that correct?
Right, they're doing the whole state court system, so I did mention it to them, and they just pretty much said they
don't have time, huh?
Yeah.
Discussion on this item. This would be boardroom updates. Mr. Lytle.
So my stance isn't going to change. What it's been is what it's going to continue to be for this one also. I think it's unfortunate that we have worked on this for quite a while. It's been more than just the last 2 years where we were asking for quotes, that we've wanted to update and do things here differently. Sounds like there was some miscommunication as far, whether that was between us and Diode or Joe and Diode or whatever, as far as that goes, as far as the number of dollars that we were looking to spend on this. I'm not going to rehash everything else. The only additional thing that I'm going to say, and then I'm not going to say another thing on items 9 or 10. I'm just going to vote. But we knew 2 weeks ago there was an issue with these items. They were brought off. I had a doctor's deal that, I don't think anybody wanted me here that day. So I was unable to be here at that meeting, and I asked Eric to pull that off. And he did, and it was well known at that point that there was questions about these items. If you add these all up, it's $200,000. Maybe to some people that's not a lot of money, but it was a $200,000 bill on all of these items. And the company that had supplied us the numbers knew that there was an issue, and there's been several questions this morning, and there's nobody from that company here to answer those questions.
They
do not know there's issues. I told them that you chose not to vote on it. That was my
point. I was going to say they weren't requested to be here or anything like that.
Either way, they're not here.
They were here.
The local company that could service this stuff is here.
didn't invite them. They were here on Monday before.
They were here not this last Monday, but the Monday before. There was three of them, and they were there, I think, here for quite a while.
And in their defense, they did say they'd come the next day also. I didn't see any reason for them to. I mean, just in all fairness, I don't want to act like they weren't doing anything. We didn't request it. And
not trying to say they're not. I'm just saying that there is a distance. There is a distance. And that was one of my concerns when we hired them to begin with.
Office in Lincoln.
Mr. Schuler.
I'd feel more comfortable if we hired a consultant to review what they're installing and review the equipment, somebody that knows what that's removed from this, that could advise us on what's being installed. That's what I would do if it was me, where I don't have the expertise to know what we're doing. Just a suggestion. I think it'd be money well spent.
Saxby.
We have a consultant hired. It's Applied Connective.
Well, but we're purchasing from our consultant. Nothing against Applied Connective, but when we're buying $200,000 worth of services and equipment from the consultant,
but as
I feel more comfortable if we have an independent consultant to review it. Just a suggestion.
As stated before, though, too, we've been asking for this for a while. I can look back. I think it was the first year I was in office that we went up and looked in a system, and we had sent it to, I think it was Blackburn. Blackburn consulted, and we got nothing multiple times. So now we have something because we asked our IT people to do it. And
Blackburn didn't have the time, didn't want it, the way I recall it.
Well, at the time, I think we went and broke down the pieces. I had printed out each individual part, the sound system, the mixer in the back, the microphones. Moving forward, I guess now we have better technology to include the voting system within the microphones, which would have been a separate system at that time. But
I will point out that this is, and I agree with Emily, we asked multiple times for quotes on this. We did not put it out for a formal bid that I know of ever. Actually, I know we never did. We just asked for quotes on this. That was not trying to get around anything. It was as a professional service. This is something that we knew the public needed, specifically around the pandemic time. There was a lot of thought that went towards virtual meetings, being able to get information out to the public without them having to come in, especially if they weren't feeling well. We are at that wonderful time of year where we have people that are fighting cold and flu, and we're all sitting in the same room again together. Although it's wonderful to have everyone here, it's nice for people to also be able to look from afar. We are also looking at a large dollar amount here. I'm not impressed with our results previously as far as trying to get numbers in, and I am impressed how we got numbers right away back immediately without any difficulty here. At the same time, there's a large dollar amount there. Any other comments on this item? This would be the boardroom, specifically updates to our current equipment. Updates and additions, I should say. If not, please vote. 3-3 with Schuler, Team, and Lytle voting nay. Haxby, Dorn, and Swavely voting yes. Motion does not pass. This is one we need to address more quickly, just like the others. We'll move on to item 10. Approve or disapprove quote with Applied Connective for Highway Department cameras and equipment in the amount of $20,535. This proposal I have not seen, Dave.
I have not seen it either. I believe it just came, yes.
This one was requested when they were down last week, 2 weeks ago.
This has been talked about for a while, about getting something done down here, but we had the opportunity now, since they're working on all this, to let them go down and take a look at that and see what they think about that down there. So
13, 14. Looks like 14 cameras, installation, monthly managed service, recurring for updates, maintenance, replacement, etc. There is a note on here I should read. Down payment. Please note orders of substantial hardware, software, licensing costs would require a down payment before hardware is ordered. That would not be done. Do they know that?
Yeah, that's on.
Okay. This is a one-year contract. Would anyone like to see this or any questions on this agreement? It just came. We have not had this go through council either. I assume you've seen the other ones, the other contracts.
Of course, Roger has looked at some of them.
I'll ask for a motion in a second, I suppose.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion by Swavely, second by Haxby. Any comments on the cameras at the highway department? I don't know. We wanted a couple cameras outside, a bunch of them inside, so we can see what's going on outside, view everything on the inside. Good protection to both employee and employer, not to mention property owner versus passerby if there's ever an accident. Anyone on the premises could be monitored in case anything ever did happen, so we could look back and verify, protect whatever both the employee, the...
If it has an accident.
Yeah, just that way we have record of anything that could go on.
Does that also include the outlot? Do you recall?
No, it does not.
Does not?
Okay. That not that off-site one.
Okay, okay.
I know I said when I said I wouldn't say any more, but... But these cameras have been able to fit into the system that we were running currently with our other cameras. If we wanted to set up cameras in the past, we would have been able to set them up and relay them up to here in that current system.
I
should have been able
to. I don't know if John could help us out with that. I do know that DVR was
yes,
on the smaller side, and that those cameras have been added within the past 3 years or so, I think. So... I don't know if the DVR itself would need to be updated.
I don't think the system is big enough for 14 cameras right now.
Should have put these on. We have a motion by Swavely, second by Haxby, to approve or approve the camera bid. That also includes a small DVR out there that will relay back to the courthouse server. Is that correct, Dave? Or would this just all save to the courthouse
can I see
server?
It?
I think it would be something that would stay down there, but the storage of everything would stay at the courthouse where that server is supposed to be able to save months worth of...
Instead of a couple of weeks.
Yes.
That is on the... No, that isn't. That would be for item five, the security server. That would all feed into that
yes.
server?
Correct.
Anything from the board?
Eric?
Yep.
So there's a $295 monthly fee to manage it that's included in this?
It's basically their ongoing warranty program, we'll call it. But, yeah, management service. Updates to the cameras, updates to the software, and that also includes repairs of any cameras. Is that correct, Dave?
Yes, and that's where they had mentioned our cameras here at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Also, they are getting some years on them, so that would be covered. As cameras go out, they would replace the cameras.
So that $295 not only just covers
just
the highway department,
the
it covers
highway
here
department,
too.
Yes.
Just the highway
just for the highway department. Just for the highway
department. Oh, just for the highway department.
Yes.
Okay.
This is only highway department.
Well, that's what I thought, but I misunderstood you. I thought you said...
Sorry, yeah. I
said something about the cameras here getting old and...
Yes, and that's where that monthly service is for updates or if things do break, which I would say at the courthouse it would be a benefit because our cameras,
okay,
they are
I
not
follow.
Replacing any of them, so as they do go out, they would.
But it doesn't include the courthouse. But it,
that
would be,
not,
you use as an
one.
Example
yes.
that because of these getting older, so that when those get older, then that $295 will cover their replacement and update?
Yes.
Which, assuming that's down the road somewhere.
Yeah.
Quite a ways.
I don't know.
So $3,500
sure, quiet.
A year. So $3,500 a year to manage this service in case we need to replace one. How much are those cameras?
I'm going to say $500 or less probably on these cameras.
The
majority
of,
there might be a couple higher dollar ones.
Seven cameras a year we could replace with $3,500 or $295 a month for managed services.
All you do is unplug them and plug them back in and mount them.
Well,
right?
that's our IT ability, Don. Motion and a second. Additional comments on the Highway Department security cameras. Please vote. 3-3 with Haxby, Dorn, Swavely voting for, Schuler, Tiemann, Lytle voting nay. Motion does not carry. We'll move on to the regular agenda.
Quick comment before we move on.
Ms. Haxby.
We asked our IT people to do this. They gave us a price. We got numbers, and now we're going to go ask them to bid our process after they've already put their quotes out. Sure, quick way to piss off our IT department.
As Mr. Lytle was saying, he talked to another board member. That was me, and I did epiphany on this. I'm going to take the blame on this one. As we went through this, we talked about it. We grouped everything together, and it was a natural process for us to easily go with one vendor on everything. As we talked about it, it wasn't intentional that we didn't. I didn't feel it was intentional that we didn't bid some of these items out. It just all went together. The intent was never to the intent was not to not allow someone to price it. The intent was convenience on our part to have everything in one
basket.
In one basket. And I agree with Ms. Haxby. I think it's so much easier for everything to be together. It makes it seamless. You make one phone call. Although that's way easier, I think we do have to do our part to try to provide that ability to bid to our local vendors, as well as if we do have to make some additional calls or work through potential problems, hopefully we can make it through those problems before there is one. And in the bidding process, we may still end up with the same vendor. It's very unfortunate. We have prices out there. I wish we could change that, but I mean, this is one of these where I think people can see both sides on this. This wasn't intentional. There are some large dollar amounts.
But I don't think they should have known what the bid was from the other supplier.
I agree with you, Eddie. Once it's in our minutes, it's out there. And there's no way we can take that back.
We hired our IT company. We asked them to do this, and now we want them to come back and bid with their open bid already out in the public. So many different ways that is wrong with this, and we have just trying to watch my public language here. Shit on them. I'm plain and simple. We've asked them to do it. We hired them to do it. That was their job. They did it. This is what we have to do back for them.
Whether we have anybody local to provide another proposal or not, and whether we hired these people as an IT company or not, we have a right to review what they're charging us for their equipment and what their monthly fees are going to be. Well, we have a right to question that. I don't think they should be ticked off. It ticks me off if they don't respect.
And I don't think anybody's saying that, Mr. Shuler. The idea is that the prices are out there.
Prices are
true. I understand that.
Not that they don't want us to review it. It's just
It was a mistake. That's a mistake. But we can't change that. So which is the greater mistake that you proceed with? You just close your eyes and proceed? Or do we try to make a wrong correct? It is a bad situation.
With that, I'd say we'll take a 5-minute break quick before we move on to the regular agenda at 10.
You want a purple one?
We will reconvene at 10:17 on the clock. We actually hit 10 minutes right on the button. Approve or disapprove claim number 2312-0077 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC.
Did we do 11?
In the amount of...
Yeah, we didn't do 11. We could do
$1,620.87. This brings the total claims to be paid out to $552,281.51. This is a company I'm involved with. Number 11 passed on the consent agenda.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle Swavely. Any Swavely. Discussion? Regular agenda.
This is on item number.
This is the first item on the regular agenda. Be item 11 on the consent agenda, then regular agenda. First item down. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. No comment from the public. We will move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Yeah, David, you want to come up and give us your...
Yeah. This time I can talk about something that I understand more, so that'll be nice. We have on our geothermal system, the water pumps and motor do need some attention. They are about 14 years old now, so I did contact Beatrice Mechanical, and they're going to start going through. I know we got a bearing going out in one of the motors that runs a water pump, and then we just need some gaskets and things like that. So we have two pumps. We'll shut one down and work on one, and then he's going to order twice the amount of parts, so then later on we'll do the other one. So they're still working fine.
We're going to rebuild both of them then?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because that's what Dennis said, you know, once you start having issues with one, it's a short time later you'll start on the other one. And since they have been running 14 years, so each one actually has 7 years of use on it, so it's probably about time. And then we did have a committee report, our holiday lights committee got together, and we just talked about the future. He gave a financial report. Terry Doyle came in and gave a financial report, and we do have the money in the budget. We bought lights for the tower part that we were going to do this fall when we had masonry construction was going to take down the old ones and put up the new ones. The man lift did not come down this fall. It's going to come down next spring as they continue to work on the tower, and so we are going to get I'm going to get an estimate of the rest of the building of what we need. So hopefully next year all the lights on the courthouse will all be replaced. They are getting to the point. Usually we get about 14 or 15 years out of them. So that's on the project for the holiday lights. And then we did talk about also JT, how it really has grown, you know, so much from his vision, so that was nice, and we're going to try and come up with something as a tribute to him. And then we did replace the little spruce tree on the corner, and so hopefully that'll get going. Masonry work is done with the north side infill down there. That looks really nice, and they asked if I could just leave that structure on there just a little bit longer, so we've been real lucky with the nice weather. Just to avoid that from getting too cold while that mortar was setting up. And we're going to, after we tear that down, we will have to rip out some old concrete around that area. And then I'd like to see us just pour some new concrete and put some type of a screen in there for our dumpsters to kind of hide that. So it's going to look a lot nicer on that north corner when we get that old building out of there. So that's what I had.
And we've brought it up before, but, you know, the Holiday Lights Committee got approval to put in three more streetlights on the north side and two on the west side. Yeah. And that's a pretty expensive deal. But one of the public has to know that the courthouse or the county doesn't pay for any of that. They pay for this little tree. They pay for the lights. They pay for everything. The Holiday Lights Foundation has money set aside that anything that, and I don't know that we'll ever spend it, but anything that has to do with holiday lights, okay, will be approved by the foundation. And all we got to do is ask them, give them a quote. They'll approve it, and it'll get done. I mean, whatever. The Holiday Lights Committee comes up with some real good ideas, and one of the things is we're trying to come up with something for JT to honor him, that it will be put up and somehow lighted or whatever at Christmas time when the lights are on, okay, because of his 35 years of getting this thing started. I mean, he started out a long time ago by himself with his El Camino and put the lights up and did everything else, okay, so but the foundation will pay for all that. It's no money comes out of the county's funds. Okay, so.
And those street lights, I did to have them street lights and have installation of them came up to $33,000. So that was a substantial amount, and they have the money, so they were.
They said go for it. So
yes.
Any questions for Mr. Jones? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Equalization, as we went through that today, Patty said farm ground, we're looking at a 20% increase. We don't know on houses or commercial yet, but they will also be seeing increases in valuations this upcoming year. Finance and insurance. Ms. Haxby, do you have a sheet of dollars that Mr. Jergens may look through just for some big ticket items?
Big ticket items. City of Wymore quarterly EMS, $10,000. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $32,603.30. Set Brothers Petroleum Fuel, $27,850.19. And that is it.
Human Resources, Employee Relations, nothing really to report at this time. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management, Planning and Zoning, Mr. Lytle.
Gus, you got anything you want to talk about?
Nothing for me right now.
Lisa didn't have anything either.
Yeah, and Lisa's not here. And we had additional conversation. We've had additional conversation about the van, and you'll have further update on that. Couple weeks. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, to me that was pretty done. But yeah, the van, I was up in Lincoln right now getting checked on one question I had on transferring the cage, and then it'll be ordered this afternoon. And time frame, stuff in there, you said, with the strikes and everything else, but that'll be all done. So I appreciate it. Prisoners will appreciate it. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Gus. That's all I had, unless you got something else, Eric.
No, sir. Road and Bridge. Miss Axby.
Hold on, I got to dig through my pile.
While you're digging on these culvert projects, I was just paging through these. The surety and the contractor didn't sign any of this paperwork for their bonds. So I don't know if we want to get – you may not have seen it yet. We may want to get copies with the surety's signature and contractor signature sealed on those for those pipe projects. Those were bid out. These are the – I assume the claims for those pipes. And
well, it's the contract.
The contract to accept those.
To sign it, and then you had to sign it.
I don't know why they must have forgot.
I'm running up to Miller Wagner this afternoon anyway. I can check with them.
Okay. Ms. Haxby.
They're working on continuing to shoulder asphalt crew. It will clear bridge structures and crack seal reviewed blades and pickups. It's later on our agenda. We got some bridge match projects. Spoke with Mark, and I was called and talked to Senator Bossman on the Transportation Committee. It sounds like there will not be a bridge match this next year, so we're moving forward with those box culvert projects. They're hoping to get it funded through 2029, but that won't happen until the next legislative session. So we're moving forward with that. The NOFO came out for the RAISE grant. Those outreach sessions are like one of the key things that they're looking for, and a lot of the information that we're receiving from those outreach sessions have been very good and actually will be very pertinent to that grant, which is awesome. So we're moving forward with that already. I spoke with Minnelli Wagner's team with that, and I am going to write the narrative. They are going to work on the cost-benefit analysis and get a new total cost to see where we're going to be at to make sure we come under that maximum threshold. But again, that's the 80-20, and then I'm hoping to catch the state this week at that conference to see if they would partner with us on the turn lane, which would be an innovative contracting process for part of our application, and do that with the state. We did add one outreach session in Plymouth on the 19th, and that was because our attendance at that Jefferson County one was poor. It was weather. It was really bad. The roads were awful to travel anyway. But we will have one at 6:30 at the Plymouth Community Center on December 19th, hoping to get a few more Jefferson County people. And then I just talked to the superintendent just this morning. She called back. I will then run over to Tri-County and do a quick outreach, five-minute outreach, during the halftime of the boys' high school game. So we'll have a captive audience.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised in the Plymouth meeting.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think I know there's a lot of interest from over there, too, because Hickory does connect people to Beatrice, especially in their fire department, hauling people to the closest hospital. That's also a main
main one as well. So we will do that one. They did ask me if I would hold one at Homestead because we're looking at, like, placement of these outreaches, making sure they surround our area. And I said, we'll cross that bridge next year. My dates are out for the rest of the year. So we'll see where we get with those, see where we're at with the where we're at with the outreach results when we're done. And then I did create an online survey that I will make very public as soon as we pass that Plymouth one. That way, because we wanted to keep the survey results kind of separate of those who attended versus what we can get from people online. We don't want to discourage people from coming to those meetings. So we'll have a so that we can still gain the data, like how many miles do you save if you could take that road? You know, if you avoid it on a daily basis, how many miles is that every week? How many does that, you know, come to every year? And how many people are avoiding that road, taking extra miles? Those are the kind of things that they're looking for. So
on this grant specifically, you're speaking of Hickory Road extending Hickory, over to 103.
Yeah, Hickory and Claytonia DeWitt. I know there was a farmer down in the Claytonia DeWitt area that hauls to Columbus and has to avoid that and has to take an additional mileage route. And so those all add up. And if we can quantify that, that's what they want in that application. The BIP, the bridge grant, was pushed back a little bit. So that's really nice. So I don't have to work on two at once. But we're still getting the data as we're going with this one. And then I did call Congressman Smith's office. The committee that is reviewing the earmark grant for the Christ Lutheran and the Odell Road, their budget was extended, I think, to January 19th. So hopefully we'll have a decision before then, but it's in that final round to make it through that last committee.
Good.
And that was how many million dollar between the two projects?
5.4.
That's big. Just, I mean, any one of these is big. Adam, too, talking to Steve Rabison, they have just started to realize the TIF money from E-Energy Adams, which is a long-term project, of course, but as they've started realizing that money, they have money in the village now. So the piece of paving they wanted to do next to Adams, they are ready to participate in their share whenever we are. So they would like to know how that would be done. That falls under the BIP that you have that you applied for, the West Bypass and Adams?
I applied for that one under TAP, but it didn't work through TAP.
I knew it was a three initial.
Yeah.
But
so I'm trying to find one. It might be like I might try it through the Safe Streets for All when that one opens up again, or maybe have them do if you get approved for their study, it might be a 2-year process, but if you get approved for their study and you do their study, then you're highly likely to be chosen for the grant part of that process too. So I might try the study portion of that. It'd be a 2-year process though.
Mr. Lytle.
First off, thank you, Emily. Secondly, I want to encourage everybody else on the board to make sure that you do contact Emily and discuss these grants that she's working on. I hope you guys all realize how much this is the second round of what Emily has done, and she's taken on a pretty big burden for this board. And she spends a lot of time on those, and I think that I hope that everybody understands and respects what she's doing there, and I thank you personally, but I also, we do have quite a bit of conversation on these grants and discuss them quite a bit, and I hope everybody else on the board does the same to stay up to speed as to all these different things, that these moving parts and whatever that Emily's talking about, because it is important to our county and our board. All the money and everything else that she's working on there. So that being said, thanks.
I want to even further that. I mean, like Ms. Hill got us over $500,000 through grants, through programs that she received nothing for, but she put that money back in. It goes back into the Gage County coffers. Ms. Haxby, as she's worked on these, Jefferson County paid $80,000 for part of the work to be done that they could reuse again. And that was on a grant. Emily is currently working on three, going for a fourth again. Is that correct? We're looking at what the next grant will be, which would be the fourth concurrent one. As one drops off, she's adding another one all the time. These aren't little grants. I mean, that's something we didn't bring up today, but we're talking $6 million here, $25 million there. I mean, it's millions of dollars. Huge projects, necessary projects. Claytonia Bridge, when that was down, I think somebody had to travel 14 miles extra every day just to check cattle. I mean, and that might not be the right mileage, but I know it was at least 14 miles, if not more. These are all necessary items, necessary parts of our infrastructure, and it accelerates it decades by getting these dollars in. So we don't tell you thank you enough. We just ask you when do we get it? And what we mean when we say when is thank you for your hard work. I don't know if it's road and bridge. Ms. Krackemeyer will be coming up here. Actually, I'll introduce Ms. Krackemeyer to give the Engage Executive Director's quarterly report for quarter three. Or is this for actual quarter four?
No, this would be, this is quarter one.
Oh.
We moved into the new.
Nice. Mr.
On three different fiscal years.
Mr. Lytle, I will ask you to meet with Ms. Krackemeyer and I momentarily after the meeting, please.
Thank you.
I'm in trouble again, huh?
Sure.
Do you want it?
Whatever. But yours has better color than the one that Juan gave us.
I know. I dusted them off, too. These have been hanging out for a while. Good morning to all of you. I will make this very quick and brief for you, and then I will open it up to any questions. I will have you focus your attention specifically on the inside front cover to just kind of go over the highlights of what we did in quarter one of this fiscal year, which would be July 1st through October 31st of 2023. So activities that Engage has been working on are child care initiatives, so the C4K Communities for Kids initiative. We are operating three grants currently right now, one of them being the preschool development grant, the PDG is what we call it. That is set to wrap up at the end of this month with final reporting due mid-January. These numbers are actually out of date or accurate as of October 31st. To that date, we had 63% of providers in Gage County participating in the preschool development grant. So what that is opportunities for all providers throughout the county to receive training incentives. So CPR, things, continuing ed trainings, things that they have to do to maintain their license, but also opportunities for new individuals entering into that industry to take those trainings and be provided an incentive for attending those. Kind of a way that the state and Nebraska Children and Families Foundation, who is funneling this money down to the local level, has looked at providing some long-term sustainability when it comes to providers. We've seen some of our center-based programs offer retention benefits or incentives to their workers for staying with them. We know that it's not a well-paid industry and those types of things, so there's often a lot of turnover and low applicant pools, more so than other industries, for sure. So it's a way to incentivize people to continue doing that work because we need them so we can go to work. We hosted Manufacturing Day on October 5th, where we toured over 150 students from five different schools through four different manufacturers right here in Beatrice. So students toured Landmark Snacks, Rare Earth Salts, NEAPCO, and J&J Wire here in town. And they absolutely loved it. Typically, we have done a spring manufacturing day as well, where students from schools outside of the ones that attended the fall one would come and do the same exact thing. We're actually looking to retool our spring manufacturing day into a business and industry day where we can open it up to businesses or industry outside of the manufacturing sector. With that being said, I want you to turn to the back of this packet, and you will see a Greater Nebraska Youth Survey that was done in conjunction with the Nebraska Community Foundation and the University of Nebraska Omaha. So what they did is they surveyed about 3,700 students. 980 of them responded to an online survey, and actually one of the public school systems in Gage County was one of the schools selected to participate in this survey. What I really want to highlight here is through this, if you look at this graphic, Plans for the Future, what this graphic tells you is the industries that students think are best, industries that students think have the best employment opportunities in their areas. Keep in mind that these are all rural schools that were surveyed. What this tells me in my reasoning for retooling some of our business and industry or manufacturing tour days is students are well aware of opportunities for them in the agriculture industry and in healthcare. The other percentages are extremely low. So I think what we need to do a better job at and partnering with the schools is promoting opportunities in those other areas, because those opportunities are available in the rural areas. Kids just don't know about them. So we're working with the public school districts to do that. And another reason why we also hosted a national speaker named Mark Perna, his premise is on choosing a career that suits what you're good at, but also not necessarily attending college. College is not necessarily the path for all or for any type of job. Getting the necessary skills and education suited for the job that you want is more the appropriate route. So partnering with schools to really kind of highlight the different jobs that are available and the education level, degree, whatever that looks like, tied directly to that position. Not saying everybody should go get a bachelor's degree to be a mechanic. Simple as that. Okay. What else did I have on here? We did pass and secure two projects right here in the city of Beatrice. One of those is an incoming Jimmy John's. So we're excited about that amenity coming in for the public to utilize. They are set to open. Their goal is to open quarter one of 2025, so we're about a year away, give or take, depending on how construction goes there. We also have a data center that is coming in the industrial park. They are in finalization of contract stage, but land purchase agreements have already been done and things like that. So we are also working on several other projects. I think to date we're probably at 8 or 9 projects that we're actively working to recruit to the area. So with that, I'll take any questions.
I have a question about the four places that you visited, J&J Wire. That's Precise Manufacturing now, right?
Yes, it is a
They bought that building,
yes.
And bought the business. And
yep.
Okay. I didn't think it still went by J&J, okay, so that's...
Yep. They do.
Okay.
On the plans for the future, who was surveyed on this?
So they were, it was, let me see, it tells you in the
it's
front.
It's earlier
here.
In the packet. No.
Okay.
Yes, it is in there, but it was, I'm trying to remember where they said the schools.
But it was the, nobody wants to be a homemaker.
Let's see.
Zero. Found that in there.
I saw construction only 4%.
Yeah.
It was. I know it was Diller O'Dell that was
okay.
Surveyed, but
it's
somewhere in here it lists the exact schools that were surveyed.
Local schools.
Yes.
If you look at this, so like environment, 43%. I mean, you can't tell me that's not the environment they're in telling them that, but.
Well, it's natural resources, agriculture. Yeah, that's.
The other thing that I know some individuals that I've talked to have noticed in this survey that they said, so if you look at my ideal community, when they talk about where they see themselves in their future, 64% of them saw them living in a small town like their hometown. 25% said their ideal community to live in was a medium-sized one like Grand Island. 8% says large like Omaha, and 4% said very large like Chicago size. The other thing right below that is they said to, or they asked the question to rank the most important to the least important of what they thought of their ideal community. And they said the most important was safety from violence. So I think that's indicative of the size of communities as well, too. They feel safer in a small town, and that's very important to them. So I thought you guys would find that interesting as we work to solve or mitigate some of the workforce development retention issues that we face, helping our employers source more applicants and you know, just inspire people to want to live and work, play, and stay right here in Beatrice and Gage County. And I think a lot of that resides or foundationally lies within keeping our youth here. So this information is critical to that. Any other questions?
Ms. Krackemeyer and Mr. Lytle, like I say, just a few minutes after our meeting, if you would. And Gary, do you have a motion?
Yeah. Move to place the quarterly report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle.
That's all we
need. Second by Swavely. Thank you, Ms. Krackemeyer. Please vote. 6 in favor. We're back to unanimous. Approve or disapprove community-based juvenile grant and authorize the chairman to sign that grant. Good morning, Christina.
Here's your copy.
Thank you.
And the rest of you have a copy in your email I sent last night. It is not much different from last year, except they change all the questions. And so you have to come up with different answers, say it in a different way. But it is requesting funds to do the alternatives to detention, which is electronic monitoring and coaching, community coaching for the CEDARS Youth Services provides that for, they work with Nebraska State Probation. And the rest of the funds are requested to operate the juvenile diversion program. Any questions?
Any major changes other than, like you said, just different answers to the Correct. Changed questions?
Yeah. They reformat it and do different things, but no real big changes this year. I think we had a $200 increase. So.
Dodger usually nice has a nice plug for this program.
Council,
no pressure.
Roger's comment is this type of grant actually helps keep the project running self-sufficient rather than relying on taxpayer funds.
So. And then Thanks we usually the agree with Roger and say it is a good program.
So no change this year.
Good.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor. You're going to need a copy of this, aren't you?
He's in your budget.
Just one spot.
Mm-hmm. Just one spot.
Is this the same as this?
Yeah, I just wrote the N on there.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you need a copy of that one or this one?
I'll probably get the page of that one.
What?
Just the front page.
Reformatted one because I have to reformat.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Discuss and approve or disapprove the purchase of 2 new motor graders and 2 pickups. And calling for bids on those items.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Dorn, second by Lytle. Ms. Axby.
We had just received this information on Friday to kind of review, and when I came back, I know we were in a meeting partway through it. When I came back, I asked if this is something that we could take time to review and talk about a little bit more before we did it, and I thought that the answer was yes, so I thought that we were going to actually have that discussion at our next committee meeting and not be on this agenda, so I was surprised that it was on this one. I would prefer that we wait 2 weeks and have the discussion with all the information in front of us at our next committee meeting before we make the decision.
I talked to Emily beforehand on this too. We had talked about waiting till board meeting to give us some time to review this. There's no rush on these. We can't get anything right away anyway. I didn't think there'd be any issue waiting. I started going through this and then I
stopped.
I started going through the blades. The pickups I went through, I started going through the blades and I did. I stopped. I didn't finish either.
I studied them last night.
Well, good for you, Mr. Dorn. Mr. Lytle.
Emily, would you be comfortable with, you know, with the motion and everything that's there, calling for the bids? You know, we don't have to accept the bids when they come. I mean, we won't have to approve. You okay with just going ahead and calling for the bids so we can get the process going? Or what? I guess is there something specific?
Mine was more. I wanted to review and see, you know, why we're replacing. We just seem to get a lot of equipment, and I understand that we need equipment, but I wanted to actually see why we needed the new equipment. I think the one, you know, the truck that we were looking at replacing was one that we just put a new engine in, and it's barely broke in, especially as a diesel. So, you know, why are we replacing? And kind of wanting to see all of those things before and have time to digest it before we vote to move forward on it.
We're just transferring down to a different vehicle, so it's not as many miles are used as...
Not as many miles thing, but your diesels are just getting broke in, especially with the new engine in it. So.
Correct, and it would still be continue to be used. It's just not going to be used as a crew truck.
But why do they need it? Why does the crew truck need a new truck when
are the crews that go out after hours when called. They are also the vehicles that go out with fuel tanks to fill up all our vehicles. The two trucks that we are replacing are the only two trucks that we have fuel cells on.
I will say I tend to be kind of tight on stuff once in a great while. I told Mark no on this right away, and I told Mark no pretty quick as we were looking at budget stuff on this. And then as I look at this, I don't mind reviewing it more, but like I say, as I look through it, it's like my big thing is I don't want to be growing. We're not in the business of growing. What are we getting rid of? And as you do review through that, all these red items are trucks that will be surplused out. So in the process of looking at picking up a couple, we are looking at surplusing eight pickups. So we aren't growing, we're downsizing. Blades, I mean, that's a judgment call, but we are in the business of blading. Those are going to be some of those pieces of equipment we do always need. But I don't have any problem with it.
I understand the downsizing. I understand the need to get new things too. But also, like, having a lot of new things when it's not necessarily necessary is, I just want to make sure we're riding that line carefully, I guess. And I just thought I came back, got the new information that we were going to discuss it again at the next committee meeting. So
I think that the two trucks make sense because of we're going to get rid of a bunch of the others, okay? So I agree with Eric that we're, you know, we're sure we're going to have two trucks, but we're going to get rid of six or eight. They'll go by the wayside. They'll be sold on whatever this website is that they sell things like that on. So basically, we're thinning the herd. And there's some trucks on there that have lots and lots and lots of miles. So it should be time to replace a couple of them. So I'm not too uppity on patrols, but I used to drive farm equipment when I was a kid, but I haven't done that for a long time. So.
Yeah, I was, Emily, actually, that was some of the lines of questioning that I had for Mark on this. And so if I understand correctly, on the pickups, it's going to be a deal where you're working down, you know, you're replacing the top pickup. Hmm. The top pickup's now becoming the secondary pickup, and the secondary is now either the third or it's
either
surplus.
The third or surplus, yes.
Okay. And then the motor graders, I thought we were in pretty good shape. Where, what, explain to us, I believe we discussed this at budget time a little bit, but would you refresh our memories as far as the motor graders? Why two, and what they're replacing and everything?
So the one would be for the Beatrice West route. That is a 2012 unit with
15,000 hours.
It's probably closer to 16,500, because those hours were from January 1st, give or take. It's starting to have some issues. It has had some issues if you looked at the five-year cost on it. So just trying to get rid of an older model and try to keep some of those yearly costs down. The second unit, we haven't finally discussed which one we're going with. I mean, common sense, you'd want to get rid of your oldest one, but technically our oldest one that we do have is actually almost costing us the less one to run per year. So it didn't make sense. So we're looking at possibly one of our other ones that have some gremlins in it that to get rid of with higher cost on it.
So when you're talking gremlins, which other units do we have gremlins in?
It'd be that one.
Right here?
Yes, sir.
With Cat 12M3?
Yep.
With, so,
2018 with only 7,000 miles on it,
yeah.
7,000 hours on it, give or take.
Yeah. So can you give us a down low on that one?
That one's had some emission issues that is constantly not wanting to regen. We have service techs down constantly looking at it. The last 3 weeks, I think it's been down three times. It'll run 5-6 hours and go back into a service limp mode that we're sending a service tech down there for it.
So it's 65. Excuse me if I'm interrupting. 6,500 hours. 7,000 hours, whatever. If we go that route with that unit, means it has the lower hours, or are we going to get better?
Hopefully we'll get better
trade on it, even though it's got gremlins.
We're in the process of fixing those gremlins. It's becoming, in my head, an untrustworthy machine.
I had Mark put the wording in there when we do put them out to bid that we can sell them ourselves or take the trade. So if you look there on that top one, that 140H with 18,600 hours, which is more now, it's been our lowest cost operator, really, when you look at hours on that thing, which, I mean, that was something I really encouraged earlier, is rebuilding 140Hs and keeping them and running them. They're reliable. They're a 20,000-hour machine. These new ones are great. They have awesome seats. They have awesome air conditioners. They have fun knickknacks on them. It's stuff like the sheriff's department.
Backup mirror cameras.
Tons of toys and gadgets. The 140Hs don't have all that, but they work.
Difference.
So got your input. Eric? You do have a little bit of background in here. What's your Mark's thought on that Wymore unit with 7,000 hours? Or what's your thought on that type of a plan? Not that I don't trust your opinion, Mark. I'm just, what are your thoughts on that?
My initial thought was the Philly route machine, and the Beatrice West. Those would be the first two you would assume. We had issues with the M's initially. I thought the M3s were supposed to be fixed. This one, I mean, sometimes you just have a machine that doesn't. This particular unit was the one that had the engine rebuilt, and they left the breather off of it. Is that correct? The Wymore?
I don't have that information.
Well, for some reason, I was thinking that was the Wymore machine.
With the air cleaner?
Where they didn't connect the breather to the engine, the air cleaner was unhooked.
I don't know if it was the Wymore one or one of the Beatrice route ones.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong on that one, too. No, I'm wrong. That's not the Wymore one. That's a 12M3. We had that problem on a 140. So these would be the most recent cats we bought. We bought that pair of...
Those would be the 2018s.
12M3s. Those would be the most recent blades we bought from Caterpillar.
Right. And the one is the Beatrice East route, and the other one is the Wymore route.
The Beatrice East seems to have no issue.
Very minimal.
Yeah, I don't know, Gary. I mean, that'd be my first thought was that 15,000 an hour machine. But how much downtime have you had on this one?
On which one?
The Wymore route machine.
Just in the last 4 weeks, it's been down 3 out of the 5 days, roughly. Every week, it's down in the shop right now.
I mean, those should be issues that they can take care of, you would think, on that new machine.
You would think.
Eric, have you seen, have you seen between trucks and graders and heavier equipment, have you seen, I guess my thought, and I've been out of the fuel business for quite a while, but, my thought was with all the new emissions controls, it seems like when you have a machine, my experience, now, like I said, I've been out for 13 years, but it seems like with the new emission controls, when there's issues, they seem to be really tough to get rid of, yes. So, I mean, is that something...
If you can ever solve it, it seems like they're fine, but it's just getting to that point where you solve them once. There's so many components there. Instead of having a mechanic that can look at it, you have a tech that's trying to plug it in, and if it won't tell them what's wrong...
You don't know what to do with it.
They don't have the skill set to figure it out.
The main reason I created that worksheet was I was looking at the John Deere fuel cost. And then I wonder if the cats, when we first bought them, had the same fuel cost, a lower cost. So that's why I took it back so far and gave a five-year estimate or a five-year mm-hmm. cost breakdown.
Right. Ms. Haxby.
I get why some of these are getting surplused out. Miles are getting up there. A couple questions since we're not going to do this. Apparently, later I'll just ask my few questions here. But I believe we got rid of the welding position altogether because we don't do the welding thing. So we still have a welding truck. And then you have a dedicated truck for the weed superintendent.
Those are a little bit misleading. We still do welding. We just don't do welding all the time. It's the truck that has the welder mounted on it. We still have to weld. I would say every week you're welding, not necessarily every day.
Okay.
The weed truck is not actually a weed truck. It's a shop truck that's labeled as weed.
But we also have other shop trucks. She's not out there every day, so do we need a dedicated truck for that?
Like which one are you talking about?
Dodge Crew Cabs listed under Weed Super. And then you have a yard truck, which, I mean, could be one of the same.
And those are the trucks that we got donated from the sheriff's department, which turned out to be some of our better trucks to do our running around in.
Just trying to figure consolidation and new
correct.
Trucks.
Correct. So there are sometimes...
And if they're necessary.
There's sometimes that, all, three, four crew guys aren't going to ride in one truck because we're going to separate them out. Like right now, one of my dirt crew is driving to Adams. So we get that, if we have other machinery around somewhere else, somebody's taking that vehicle or a bad weather day and my trucks aren't running. My dump trucks aren't going to run. So then two of the dump truck drivers are going to grab chainsaws and go cut trees somewhere. So
there's options all around, or the asphalt crew, they're going to go do this somewhere, and then another guy's going to go cold patch at another place. So one crew isn't going to just take one vehicle every day. It's multiple vehicles around. We do have one designated shop truck that has all the tools, but we also have two mechanics, so sometimes there's multiple vehicles out.
Like the Ford Ranger, I know that's like the go sit on the side of the road when they're doing asphalt stuff. Other crew goes away. What Ms. Hexby's asking, I think, is do we have other vehicles that we can surplus out? Do we need the vehicles that we have?
The vehicles that we can get rid of? That are currently here, that we're leaving ourselves with maybe 2-3 yard trucks, and then everything else is pretty much dedicated out to a crew or a person.
Taking into account adding two more, there aren't any more that you can get rid of?
Well, so if we get rid of, you know, if we don't get rid of the 08 Ford that rolls down to a roller truck that's going to be connected to a trailer haul and a roller and signs for the asphalt crew.
So,
wait, you're going to use it for the same thing it's used for now?
No, it's just minimum use compared to what it's getting used to now.
What pulls the roller right now?
A flatbed.
Do the guys know that?
Yeah.
They don't pull it with that 08 right now?
They pull the skid loader with the 08. It's one of the flatbeds. It's the 18404, I believe, or the 18407.
And we can call for bids, I guess. So I'll keep looking a little bit more, and we don't have it. Let's just. I gotta.
Yeah, you can always.
We don't have a spec sheet. We're asking
to take one pickup instead of two.
You don't have to vote on them. You don't have to vote on them until you're satisfied with. You can always push it back. It's not something.
All right, Terry.
Ms. Haxby, we also only have a draft item.
The reason that's drafts is was never set a opening a bid date. That's the only reason I left that draft on there.
So we'll have to wait until we have a. How do you like that for technicality? We'll have to wait until we have a actual bid sheet.
Next to approve.
And that'd be something we can review those and see if there's any changes we want to make to those actual bid docs and too.
No, without a set date, because there again, please, when we talked, I wasn't for sure what we were doing.
And please work with the clerk's office on that. She can get you a date on that then. But we'll also in the committee meetings, we can go over those actual specs, see if there's anything we want to change. There can be little things like.
Actually, next meeting, I will be absent.
I have to wait a few weeks.
What is the next meeting date?
22nd.
No, that's committee meetings.
Committee meetings the 22nd, regular meeting the 27th.
There's a good chance that we're also going to be looking at one of our ARPA payments at that time.
ARPA payment number one.
Yes.
Ms. Haxby said the first 250 customers were online.
Should be online next week.
And receiving data, there's a little bit of back and forth she's doing with UBC and NextLink as far as making sure contracts match exact wording, prices are as advertised early on, and things like that. We will have to wait on. We've got a motion by Dorn, second by Lytle. Are you both fine, since we don't have actual specs to approve, waiting?
Amanda, is it? We have actual specs. We just didn't put a date on it.
Well, we have this. This is what we're approving. This says draft with nothing on it.
Yeah.
I know what it says. Is that really a, Amanda, can you look at that? Is that not okay for our specs? I mean.
Honestly, I'm not familiar with it. I'm not. You're saying, what is your question?
If we don't have a finalized one with actual dates on it.
Can you approve it if it doesn't have final dates?
Yeah. Do we need a finalized one before we approve something?
I mean, I think you can work off of a draft, but
Yes. You approve a draft with changes?
Yes, that's been done before.
It's up to you, Eddie. I mean, the specs aren't going to change. The specs that are on there are the specs. So.
Right.
There's just no dates when they want them, that's all.
So, I mean, if you want the date inputted into there, Eddie would just have to say that's okay, right? Eddie and me?
Right.
Shoot, I don't have my January calendar over here.
It still gives us plenty of time to talk about it before we approve them.
And we don't have to open the bids in 3 weeks. We can open them in 4. I don't care. It's whatever the board decides, I'm good with.
These do call out the 140M2 and the 12M3.
That's a John Deere and a hat, right?
John Deere's been doing pretty good.
Okay. They're good tractors.
Yeah, we need it. We need to wait because something's not right.
I'll
notice that.
Yeah. Okay,
we need to wait.
So
please
withdraw your.
I'll withdraw it.
I'll withdraw my second then.
I know I fixed it or I had it changed, but for some reason, the back page that's not right.
Okay, bring it back.
Please,
bring
please
it back withdraw. In 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bring it back in 2 weeks.
Can do. We will wait on that item. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, I'd like
before we have a brief closed session. Mr. Schwavely.
The items that we didn't pass on this agenda, if we're going to put it out for bids, that's what I'm assuming is going to happen. We're going to have somebody write up what we want. We can't take this one or we can't take that one without having written up specs what we want them to bid on. I just don't think that, you know, that we can.
So how, like.
Pardon?
We can discuss this. I've got, it'll go a while. I've got to. We'll deal with it Monday.
Well, that's, you know.
Mark, you might want to look at the lift group item on this blade as you're going through your specs. We do have. Brief closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I'd ask for a motion to go into that at 11:12.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely. Second by Schuler. This will be on specifically litigation, potential litigation. Thank you guys for coming. If you could wait for us, Rachel, we shan't be long. Please vote. Six in favor. It specifically calls out a cat lift group.
We said we won't be long.
Well, and or model B.
So he closed session.
Make a motion. Come out of closed session.
Moved by Swavely. Second by Dorn. Come out of closed session at 11:22. Exactly 10 minutes.
Good.
Please vote. Five in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn at 11:23. I wish you all a wonderful week and safe travels if you are heading west.